organised as a bit of an emergency conference, if you like. But there's a lot of apprentices this year that seem to have places at the college, but they can't find a job. Some of those parents, you know, one way or another, I got talking to people and they found I was in the industry, so they would tell me about their child that maybe couldn't find a place. And it's also that effect of how demoralising it is for the children, because they feel like it's them. And I thought, I kind of said to them, it's probably not the child, but I'll go and have a chat, see what's going on in the industry, see what people are saying. And the feedback was quite clear that the funding has kind of been, I wouldn't say removed, there's a little bit of funding, but there's a lot of red tape to it, it's not very much. And what people are finding they're having to pay is sort of difficult to actually train them properly and dedicate the time that they need for them. Some of them have had some bad experiences, so, you know, that's put them off employing them. It just seems to have kind of fallen apart a little bit this year. And I'm a bit worried this year there's not going to be any people going on to some of these apprenticeships at all. And that's obviously going to have a detrimental effect in the future for the industry.
Because that's it. You want to be encouraging young people to see this as a valid life path, don't we? So where do you start, really?
Yeah, well, I think the start is at the apprenticeship, isn't it? That is the start. But I think 14-year-olds to me is where we start. So, I mean, I guess that moves me on to, you know, who are we aiming the event at? Who do we want to come to the event? It's kind of for anyone 14 plus who maybe is interested in a career in construction. But also if there's anyone out there that's 25, 26, you know, whatever age, 40, maybe wants to come into the industry, wants to retrain. It's actually a brilliant industry for supporting people to get skills when they're a bit older. You can, you know, there's people think of building trades and they kind of think of bricklayers and you know, plasterers, plumbers, whatever it might be, but they don't necessarily think of the more academic side of it, if you like, where you've got architects and engineers, quantity surveyors, you know, even M&E engineers these days, because the mechanical and electrics have become so complicated. They need designers in their own right, really. Landscape architects, clerk of works, all these kind of jobs might be things that for a lot of 14, particularly 14 to 16 year olds coming up to A levels. A lot of people go for A-levels and maybe do a degree that doesn't necessarily lead to a job, or they don't really know what they're going to do, or they take on this mountain of debt, or the parents have to fund it. You know, I don't think that really works. And then when I was at university, my friends were doing their degrees full-time and I did mine part-time. So I was at university one day a week and I was working 4 days a week. So I was getting paid, didn't have any debt. Great way of doing a degree. Nobody ever told me about that at A-level, which I found strange. Nobody ever said, you can do this, you can fund your own degree, you know. So I think that needs to be encouraged a little bit more. And I think that's what's so great about apprenticeships is it's that on-the-job learning, isn't it, that's so valuable to people. So I'd love to see 14 to 16 year olds coming into the industry and seeing it as something appealing to them and getting on the HNC. So you could, as an A-level student, you could actually go to the college and do a HNC right now, get a job with an engineering firm, and in 2 years you could go to university, or you could do that on the island.
Do you think there's been an almost negative stereotype? You mentioned there about some people don't realise there's an academic side to these pathways. Do you think that has put people off in the past?
In what way? People...
In young people who think that you know, they want to pursue an academic course. Maybe a career in construction wouldn't fulfil that side.
That's exactly who I suppose I'm trying to reach out to, because that's kind of who I see myself as. I was in school, did very well. I did my A-levels. I was kind of at a bit of a loss as to what I should do with myself. And I found a job as a trainee quantity surveyor and applied for it and got it. And, you know, I've had a thoroughly enjoyable career in construction, but I'm a little bit unusual in that most people that come into construction usually have a family member that's in construction. It's quite an unusual career path for people to take. My best friend, when I told her I'm going to be a quantity surveyor, she went, "What's that?" And she was actually on Manx Radio at the time 20 years ago, and she mentioned it to the presenter at the time, because she said, you know, sometimes kids just aren't hearing about a lot of these careers, they don't even know what they are. And my dad was a surgeon up at the hospital, and he encouraged us not to go into medicine, actually. He said it was kind of maybe getting a little bit too bureaucratic, and the management was sort of making his life very difficult at the time. So he encouraged us away from, you know, medicine. I was thinking about law, but I wasn't really sure. I was just feeling a bit lost as to what you're supposed to do. And I got this trainee position, and it's like I say, it just sorted me for my life, really, and it sorted me for my career. And it's given me a really fulfilling career. I, you know, have a good job now, good prospects for the future. I'm able to work part-time and have kids and stuff. It's very flexible that way. But with anything, I think with anything, if you get a skill in anything, it's a lifelong skill. Even if you go away from it for a little bit or you do something else, if you're a bricklayer, you'll always be a bricklayer. If you're a plumber, you're always going to know how to, and you can always fall back on that if your life takes you in the wrong way. I think something for me as well for the 14 to 16 year olds is though, I think they're being doubly hit here a little bit because they're currently coming through from having their school lives interrupted. So I think that's making it, there's a double edge to this. It's not just money that they need. We need to support these young people in other ways as well. So I suppose the events to try and get everyone together to see how we support the whole industry.
And so at this conference then, you've got some companies you say have agreed to support the cost of the event. If, say somebody 14-year-old came along to find out more about this these life pathways, who are they gonna meet here at this conference?
Right, well, there's a few people that have obviously, like you say, very kindly agreed to fund the event and donate a little bit so we can just pay for the, you know, pay for the venue, etc. And so I'd like to just say thanks to them. That was Ireland Drainage and Groundworks. We've got JCK who have agreed to help us. Cedar Development, NK Construction, Kenork and Skinner and Brendan Downey Construction Limited so far have agreed as contractors to come and represent the industry. I'm not saying they represent the whole industry. I'm just saying they've agreed, you know, to come. They've reached out to us.
Like we were saying, a wide range of industry representatives there and representative of the options that are available, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think it's a nice representation of different, there's a lot of different backgrounds there. Notably, though, we haven't got any mechanical and electrical contractors at the moment, so it would be good if any of them were available, although I'm very hopeful some of the bigger ones will come. But I know a lot of the self-employed electricians and plumbers will be coming, and that's who I've also reached out to, is self-employed people. While they might not be sponsoring the event the same way, I've asked them to all come along. We'll have a little bricklaying table, we'll have a little plasterer's table, get together themselves as well, maybe speak to each other about the difficulties they're having, things that have worked, things that haven't. So that's another string to the event, is to try and get to reach out maybe below, because these big contractors are always helping apprentices. These are great, you know, great examples of people and companies helping young people. But we forget sometimes that a lot of apprenticeships are actually done with two plasterers or a bricklayer has an apprentice. You know, it's not necessarily always coming through big companies. So it's how we reach out to them and how you support those kids as well, because some people have a great apprenticeship, some people don't have such a good apprenticeship. So it's trying to collate all that information as well to how we can actually reach out and support the kids. Maybe some sort of mentoring scheme, or, you know, maybe some construction professionals like me are happy to sit down with some younger people, spend an hour every quarter or whatever, help them. Sorry, and the consultants that agreed to help us were Axis Consulting, who are an engineering firm over here, Mullen Consulting, who at Clark of Works and do a lot of setting out stuff, March Consulting, who are M&E contractor, and we've got Belbert and Associates, that's who I actually work for, who have obviously agreed to support the event. And yeah, I'd like a big shout out to my boss, Vincent and Brian, who are always very supportive of everything I do. Fantastic. And have been very supportive of this event, putting this event on.
So I guess then, final question, if there was somebody here now, a 14-year-old who doesn't know what to do in life, they're probably looking at their options for their GCSEs and looking ahead, you know, what would you say to them right now?
If they want to come into the professional side of things, I would say to them, maybe reach out to someone in the industry, speak to people. If you want to be a quantity surveyor or project manager, or you're interested in these things, try and get work experience over the summer. Try and get some work experience maybe over the Easter holidays. Get yourself in the industry so you kind of know what it's about, because it's good to know what you're coming up against as well, because it is a different industry to other industries. So some people, it's not what they're expecting when they get there as well, so you kind of need to understand that. If you were maybe more someone who doesn't like school, isn't doing well at school, I would encourage you to definitely try and seek out contractors, see if there's anyone who would give you a little labour and position or help you out over the summer holidays. It's be getting more and more difficult with insurance and things like that for this to happen. But I met a young man the other day, actually, who's in the UK at the moment. He's looking to move to the island, and he works with 14 to 16 year olds specifically to get them on the mechanical and plumbing apprenticeships. So he works with like people that are not academically doing well, maybe not attending school, maybe struggling with, you know, personal circumstances. So he tries to give them the skills because he recognises, and I think we all recognise, if you can give people that are struggling some skills, even if they go off the rails, when they get back on, they've got the skills, they'll always have them to fall back on, and hopefully it'll keep them, give them that bit of self-worth and that ability to make some money as well, because it's becoming more and more difficult to live. So skills help you get better job prospects. And honestly, some of the most successful and wealthy people I know left school at 16 and started very successful subcontracting businesses and or small builders, and they do very well.
Nurturing those skills as well at an early age, and in, like you were saying, and offering that pathway, what kind of wider effect do you think it could have on the Isle of Man down the line for generations to come?
Well, I think obviously from the taxpayers' point of view, the more kids that we get into skills, the more tax that we're going to get off them, you know, in the long run. And I think we should be kind of, I don't want to say throwing money at them, but I think every kid should be given, like, I don't know what's going on with the university grants as well. Someone said you don't even get university fees paid for in full anymore, which I think is also a problem. But I just think it goes without saying that, say, a joinery apprentice should get, I don't know what the figure is, this is something that I want to canvass the industry about, but for me, somewhere in the region of a couple hundred pounds a week towards that first year, it just is a no-brainer, because they're paying tax straight away on that money, so you're already getting some of it back. If that person goes on within 3 or 4 years and is qualified, you could quite quickly do a calculation that would show a payback within 20 years, and more than a payback. There was some talk of that, some finding some extra income, I don't know, right. 21 million or something. But I thought that's the sort of thing to me, as a taxpayer, I'd like to see that invested in our young people, because we'll get that return as taxpayers. And I'd particularly like to see it spent on our youth, our local youths that have grown, you know, because there is a network of Manx people. When you're born and you're local to the island, you do sort of have a slightly different perspective on it, because you've grown up with the people around you. They are your peer group. I work every day with people that I was in school with, and that's one of the things I love about my job, and I love about the Isle of Man as well. It's a very close network of people. Mm-hmm. So we've all got to come together to try and support these young people coming into the industry. And also people maybe that want to leave, you know, you hear e-gaming isn't doing so well. Leave and come be a project. If you're a project manager for e-gaming, those skills will be very transferable to construction. And construction is a very fulfilling and wholesome industry.
Yeah.
You know, there might be a bit of effing and blinding sometimes in it, but it's honest, like I say, and wholesome. And that's what I, you know, like about it.
Or people who might be doing some DIY at home and realising that they wish they might have got a trade back in the day.
You know? Yeah.
Come forward, it's never too late, I suppose, is it?
Yeah, come forward. Although my dad was notorious, actually, for he couldn't even hang a picture. And I do remember the first time I'm his daughter. So the first time I ever tried to hang a picture in my new house, I lined it up with the light switch. I was like, right, here we go, straight through the wire. I had to phone my boyfriend and was like, I've got all the electrics, I've gone.
The nails fizzing.
He's like, are you for real? You've actually lined it up with the light switch. I said, oops. But yeah, you learn about these things. Now that I've seen plenty of houses and where all the wires actually go, I wouldn't make that mistake again.
Goes to show vital life skills, doesn't it? But Rosie, anything else you'd like to mention at all while we've got the record going?
Yeah, I mean, I think just in terms of the actual event itself, obviously, it's on the Friday. It's running from about 2:30 till 5:00. We've got the Niarble Suite at the Comus Hotel booked. I'd also like to say a big thank you to those people and Mark Emmington for supporting this event, giving us the venue at very short notice, and just generally being so supportive with it. He's agreed to say a few words even, because he's quite passionate himself about giving young people opportunities. And I think it's that opportunity to take these people and give them life skills, you know, it's important. And there really is a crisis at the moment among our young people, 14 to 16 year olds. They're struggling and we need to help them. So I'd like to call out to the industry to just, if you're in the industry, if you're any part of the industry, please come and show your support. I'm not asking anything of you other than maybe fill in a questionnaire, be there for people that might want to ask some questions, you know, and see what's going on in the industry, just to get a little bit more transparency to what's actually going on. So I think people say this, people say that. I'm just trying to bring everyone together. And all these new tools we've got for managing things like Facebook and social media and sometimes we get lost. Sometimes it was easier when we just had to phone people. Mm-hmm. I used to like when you have to phone in sick. I suppose. Did you ever have to phone in sick?
I'd get my mum to do it.
Oh no, that's the one actually I keep hearing. From everyone, don't ever. This would be my primary piece of advice then, would be don't ever get your mum to phone in sick. to phone in, unless you're in hospital and you can't get to the phone, then don't get your mum to phone up for you. You have to deal with it yourself.
Yeah.
That would probably be my biggest piece of advice.
I've learned to do it myself now. I just do it for my wife as well. But there we go.
So Most people just text you.
Yeah, send a text.
Email,
yeah, have you got a website? Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, something like that. So yeah, I think that would be my... that would be my takeaway for young people. But yeah, if people could come to the event, like I say, there'll be a few presentations from 3:15 from some construction professionals, industry professionals, just a bit about their career. It's nothing too formal. This is really more of a networking event. And being a builders conference, I suspect the bar will do all right out of it. So from 5:00, yeah, I'd be happy to have a glass of wine.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.